This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Let's talk.
Let's talk.
John Brown.
Let's talk.
And we have reached one of my favourite parts of my show, because once a month, In Pops bringing a little bit of Tarifa sunshine into the studio. It's Claudia from Spence Clark. Claudia, good morning to you. Look at the colour of you.
Good morning, and let me tell you that you're my favourite person in the radio as well, so
gotta,
I love
careful,
it as
you've
well.
You've got to get past reception. They'll be very upset there. They made you a cup of tea and everything. Is this not your favourite time of year?
You know what, Giles? It's the first time that I'm living September, because Lucia, as my daughter, she is the first time I'm not taking her to school. She's gone to uni this year.
Were you a child bride? You can't have a daughter at university. I think we should meet.
That's so nice of you. So anyway, this is the first time that I'm having not to take her to school. So Tarifa is so lovely in September. I love September. It's a favourite.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
Because we know what you do, you know, tax and the whole. What is your daughter studying at university?
Oh my God, she's studying dentistry. Something horrible.
It's not horrible.
It is.
It's absolutely not. Listen, when I was in the cadets, in the army cadets, there was one guy, and we thought he's going to go into the regular army. And his name was Toriarty. Yeah.
Okay.
And we said, you know, which regiment are you going to go into? He said, no, I'm going to be a dentist. And we said, why? And he said, one reason: I've never met a poor dentist yet, and he was 15. So therefore,
okay,
we'll have wonderful teeth then. So teeth and accountancy. What more do you need in the family? And surfing.
And surfing.
So yeah, I mean, luckily, the crowds are gone. We can all breathe.
It's lovely.
How was Tarifa? I haven't been to... How was Tarifa? How was the
Costa de Luz? It's the best time of the year to go.
Yeah?
Lovely. There's nobody there. You can go to a restaurant and you don't have to, stress, because there's not going to be a space. Without reservation, you can walk in anywhere.
Yeah.
The people that are now here are foreigners. Yeah. It's not that I have something against the Spanish. It's against the Madrileños, maybe.
The pijos.
They're gone. So,
but you have the Sevillanos, nice. You have the
Sevillanos,
which are, you know, the ones who support Sevilla rather than Betis.
Yes.
If you know, you know, by the way. Restaurant, where would you, come on, I mean, the last time I ate in Tarifa, I think I was probably in La Ruina. That was the last time I was...
Oh, La Ruina, yeah. I used to go there, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Let's move on from there, because, you know, it is a favourite time of year, but it may be your favourite time of year, but tax and Hacienda still go on. And they've been for their break, if they even stop Hacienda, and they're back, ready for September. So what's coming up then? We're talking about property in Spain. If you don't live here full-time, talk me through it, Claudia.
Okay, yes. Non-residence is the subject that we're talking about.
If I'm non-resident, what taxes am I going to have to pay if I own a property in Spain?
Okay, if you own a property and you're renting this property out, you're going to have to pay two types of taxes.
Two
of them, yeah. One is the income tax on your rental property.
Yeah.
And the rate that will be applicable to you will depend on where you're resident.
So if you're renting, not if you have a property, you're renting it. If you're renting a property, if you're paying a landlord, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're a EU citizen, okay, like the British,
something happened over the weekend, I wasn't looking.
Non-EU, you are not allowed to deduct expenses, and you will pay 24% on your gross income.
Right.
Now, if you're part of the EU and also from Iceland, Norway, and Liechtenstein.
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 Yes.
Okay, like German. Liechtenstein.
Yes.
Yeah. You will be allowed to deduct the expenses, and the tax rate will be 19%.
That's the European economic, it's the EEA, the European Economic Area, yeah?
Correct. Okay. Wow. Very informed.
Well, you know, hey, I know, you know.
Now, if for the days you're not renting the property, or if you do not rent it at all, you have to pay the famous deemed income tax declaration, which the deemed income is based on the valor catastral of your property. If the valor catastral has been revised in the last 10 years, you pay 1.1% of this.
Right.
And if it hasn't been revised, you pay 2%. And on that, the tax rate that you pay, it depends again if you're EU or non-EU. If you're non-EU, 24%. If you're EU, 19% is the tax rate.
And this is again, and if you're from Liechtenstein, and good morning, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
How often do we have to do this? Is it every, because it used to be every quarterly, every 3 months? Is it?
Yes, the deemed income is always yearly.
Right.
And the rental one is, instead of quarterly from this year, is yearly.
Okay, and okay. There's a specific date, isn't there?
Yeah.
January, some?
Yeah, the yearly one for rental, the deadline is the 20th of January of next year.
That's the day after my birthday, so I can go happy birthday and then do that. There you go.
And the non-resident, if you haven't rented your house or it's been rented and you and not rented at the same time, we're actually preparing these declarations right now for the year 23, and the deadline is the end of this year.
Right. The one about the 19th and the 20th. 20th of January, that's if you're renting a property. But if you have your own property, i.e. you're not renting.
Exactly.
There's a different... Is there a different date, or is it...
Yes, it's the end of this year.
Okay.
The end of this year.
All right.
Okay. Apart from that, we have the wealth tax.
Is this the tax to the grandes fortunas?
As well.
Oh, okay. So there's this is my favourite tax.
Yes.
So we've got cigarettes.
We've got the wealth tax. The limit is 700,000. So if the value of your Spanish assets in total is over 700,000, you need to pay wealth tax. And if it's over 3 million euros, is your favourite tax, the grandes fortunas. Now, the law changed, and a person who is a non-resident can actually choose if they want, instead of applying the government tax, which is what I've just explained, they can apply for wealth tax, the regional tax. Yeah. And therefore, if their property is located in Andalusia or Madrid, as there is no wealth tax, there will be no wealth tax for them as well. So that
it changes, it varies depending on the region that you live in. So Andalusia and Madrid, they have
no wealth tax.
But somewhere like, I don't know, Catalonia or Murcia, they have.
Yeah, in that case, because, for example, Valencia, the limit is 500,000. So if you're, in that case, I would choose the government one because the allowance is 700. So you can choose the most favorable between regional and the government, which I explained at the beginning, 700,000 and the 3 million on the Great Fortune
tax.
And
these have to be, this has to be submitted, this wealth tax.
Between the deadline is June of every year.
Okay. So get it better to get it done sort of April, May than waiting right to the end. Okay. So we've got deemed income, which is based on the cadastral. Now, this is a word I've heard used lots in Spain, and has several words when, you know, because as soon as somebody says hacienda to me, obviously I just go into complete shutdown, you know, the white comes over. What exactly, now talk me, be gentle with me, what exactly is the cadastral value?
It is a monetary value that the administration assigns to a property, the administration being the town hall. Okay, those are the one. And the town hall, there's a place called Catastro, where they...
Catastro.
Yes, really, it's called Catastro. And this is where they create this value, this Catastro. So there's the referencia catastral, which is the identification of your property.
And Catastro.
And then there's the valor catastral, which is the value. And I don't know where that comes from, Catastro, but this is a Spanish word.
Okay. And this is And this is the value, the town hall or the
catastrophe.
So it's not the market, it's not what your estate agent will say, it's worth 50 million.
No, normally it's lower.
Yeah.
Lower than the market value.
Yeah.
Okay? It's, yeah. They have some formulas and they get to that value somehow. Okay.
So you've got your catastral value from the catastrophe. how does that translate into the tax payable amounts then?
Yeah, I can give you some examples.
Okay.
So let's start with a UK citizen, so a non-EU.
Yeah.
So if for a valor catastral, I'm going to give examples of the valor catastral, okay? So if the property's value is 100,000, depending if the valor catastral has been revised or not, it would be 260 euros or 480 if it hasn't been revised.
Quick question then. With this catastral value, mm-hmm. do you have to go to them and say, what is the value of my house, or do they automatically update you?
Yes, they automatically update. But if you do, for example, some extra
work
on it, you can write to them and they will revalue. People normally don't do it because it'll mean they'll pay more taxes.
Yeah.
But the way I understand they do it is that they, with an airplane, they take pictures.
A drone probably now.
You're right. Probably, yeah.
They like the drones now.
Yes. Yeah. So based on that, they know the square meters of the constructions, and that's what they do. Okay, they don't necessarily have to visit your property.
When you live in the camper, you see, as I do, when they used to check for water deposits, and they used to say, "No, I've got a deposit of the agua." And they go, "Okay, if it's a water deposit tank, why have you got a dolphin motif in blue tiles? That's a swimming pool. You owe us money." True story. Okay.
Yeah. No, I believe
you. Up to 100,000. It's between 260 and 480.
Valor catastral of 500,000. We're talking about 1,320 and 2,400.
Okay.
And the catastral value of 1,000,000. We're talking about tax payable of 2,600 and 4,800.
Right. So just under 5,000 then a year.
Yeah, a year. Right, this is a yearly tax.
Okay.
Now, I can give you examples for a EU citizen or Norway.
Liechtenstein. 10.
Okay.
And then Stein as in German beer.
Okay. Liechtenstein.
Stein as in Frankenstein. But Liechtenstein, his younger brother, used to work in tax.
Okay. And Iceland. Don't forget about Iceland.
Yeah.
So we are talking again 100,000. It's between 209 and 380 euros. For a property with a valor catastral of 500,000, we're talking about 1,000 euros and 1,900.
Yeah.
And for a property of 1,000,000 euros, we're talking about 2,000 euros and 3,800.
And just to underline, this is for non-resident. It's not if you're a resident here, this doesn't apply. This is non-resident.
Is not renting out, just has the property and uses it or not uses it. It doesn't matter. You have to pay this amount on a yearly basis just for the ownership, just because on the escritura, your name is on it.
Okay. If you're renting a property then?
If you're renting, I'll give you an example. Let's say that your yearly income is 20,000 euros. For the EU and Iceland, Norway and Liechtenstein, we've got... let's say they have expenses of 10,000 euros, so they pay taxes on 10,000 euros. We're talking about 1,900 euros in tax.
Okay.
Whereas if you're from the UK, then as the 10,000 euros are not deductible, you pay taxes on 20,000, we're talking about 4,800. So there's a big difference between more than double.
So if you're let me get this straight, because, you know, I'm British and sometimes my brain doesn't work. So you haven't got the TIE, you're non-resident here, but you're renting a property here for long term. You're popping over every night, you get the whole thing. So you have to pay tax on the place that you're renting.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay, super. Now, here comes the other question, because that's relatively simple, but hey, this is Hacienda. So if I own a Spanish property as a non-resident, do I have to pay any other tax? I don't like the way you laugh.
The question is, of course there is. There
of
course. All, the answer is always going to be yes. So, yes, we've got, this is similar to the council tax that you pay in the UK for your property.
Sure.
So you've got the IBI. And
The EB.
Yeah. And the rubbish tax.
Okay.
This has a fun
That's
aspect.
The rubbish collection tax, by
yes.
the way.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you can say rubbish tax as well. So, all waste tax, no more professional.
Yes.
But
indeed.
I like rubbish
you
tax.
You like rubbish tax. Yeah. British, can't be British, yeah.
Okay. So, there's a fun aspect about this.
A fun aspect?
Yes.
Okay.
You know that in the UK, if you do not pay your council tax, what happens when you come into your door, probably you'll find a big note, you know, saying you have not paid your council tax, you're due or whatever, you're due 1 week or you're due 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well,
in Spain, they'll just embargo your entire account.
Exactly.
Really?
They do.
Oh, I mean, that was a joke. But
It's not a joke. And listeners, please make sure you pay these taxes, because what they are going to tell you is the following. You know, you have this obligation. It's your obligation to pay it. It's not ours.
Yeah.
So you have to find and pay it. However, so what you have to do is you have to put the payment of these taxes under a direct debit mandate. But you also need to check that these payments has gone through, because they are not going to tell you that they have not been paid, that you didn't have money in your bank. You're going to find about it 4 years later with fines of 20% and with embargo and lawyer's fees to get it out. So.
Right. So, yeah. So that's a nasty surprise. And if they can embargo you, so you'll be sitting there having a coffee with some friends, talking about your wonderful life as a non-resident here in Spain, and please let me get this, and you'll run your car through the thing and it'll go declined.
Exactly.
And you won't know what, yeah. And it'll be Friday, which means you can't see, and there'll be a puente, and you won't be able to see them until Tuesday, and it's because you didn't know about the rubbish tax.
Exactly.
There
exactly.
Right then. So in breve, which is if I'm a non-Spanish resident, because I own a property in Spain, yeah, that I use for my holidays. And I rent it out when I'm not using it, and I don't have sort of people from Barcelona squirting me with water pistols saying, go home. What obligations do I have?
Okay.
I mean, there's a whole can of
yeah,
worms.
No, well, I'm just going to summarize what we've
okay,
said.
Okay, let's do it in puntos.
First of all, if you're renting, you need to file an annual declaration declaring the rental income. Okay. If you are not renting it out, you have to pay annually the deemed income.
Right.
Okay. Well, if you're renting it out, you not all the time, okay, and there's times of the year that it's not rented, you would have to pay also the deemed one for the days it wasn't rented out and the rental ones for the days. Both of them are annual.
Okay.
Then you've got the council and waste tax. And then you've got the wealth tax or the grandes fortunas if you're eligible. Now,
point five. This
yes,
is an important one.
This is an important one. If you're renting out in Spain to as a holiday rental, okay, not long term, you must register.
Yeah.
You're not allowed just to, tomorrow you decide, oh, I haven't used my property for last summer. Let's rent it out. Before you rent, you need to register properly. Otherwise, you could receive a fine.
Yeah.
You can find some, we've got in our website some, we've got a link and some notes about this. Just visit our page and you'll find
because it used to be a lot easier, but now because of, and rightly so, because a lot of people have been very upset by the people renting out for holidays, etc. A friend of mine who's got a beautiful house behind the Ares Bank, you know, that bit there, down mm-hmm. towards Trocadero Playas, he said he's amazed because the last 2 years, companies have been buying these houses and just renting them out. So you can't just say, okay, I'm going to rent it as an Airbnb. You need to register with the Junta. You need to get the all the thing. And they are checking.
They are checking. And the fines are not cheap. So.
No. So, This is all very complicated. So this, I might think, oh, you know what? I'm gonna sell it and retire to my cottage in Stoke-on-Trent.
Surprise there.
What happened?
I would do the same.
Anyway, so if I want to, because I mean, again, it's very in which case I'll sell it. And again, in Spain, it's not as easy just to say I'm going to shut the door. You know. Throw the keys in the letterbox and walk away from my property. What are the obligations if I sell my Spanish property to the tax office?
Okay, well, of course, you're going to pay capital gains tax if you've made a profit, okay? The good thing here about the tax rate is 19% for both non-EU and EU citizens, okay? So no difference. All of them pay 19% on the profit that you make. Now, there's a system, and the system is because the tax office thinks you're going to run away and not pay the capital gains tax, and because the declaration is due in 4 months after the sale, what happens is that when you're signing
At the notary
on the deed, the purchaser will withhold from the vendor 3% of the total sell price.
Right.
At that moment, so you don't run away. So what happens later? No, it's a joke, okay? But these are the rules. So what happens is that 4 months, 3 months later, because the deadline is 4 months and the 3% is actually you've got 1 month to pay it. What happens is that if what the capital gains tax result is higher than the 3% withhold, you pay the difference. And if it is lower, then you ask for a tax refund. That's a mechanism.
There are forms.
Well, yeah, the 3% is a form called M211.
Yeah.
And the capital gains tax, the name is the M210.
Okay. I remember that vaguely. Yeah. And obviously that's on the debt history. So the net gain or loss of selling property has been calculated. If it's a gain, you pay
19% on the gain, on the profit. So you're allowed to take expenses related with the sale. So what normal expenses would be? There would be the real estate fee, for example. It will be the lawyer's fee that you had. And those are the normal expenses that you will have on a sale.
Okay. That's one bunch of taxes. Next question. Are there any other taxes that we should be because it's Spain. Come on, what else have we got to?
Yes, of course. Well, there's two more things that I would like to mention. One of them is that the buyer this time, not the seller, when he buys, he needs to pay either transfer tax. Currently in Andalusia, the rate is 7%. Or if it's a new construction property, we're talking about VAT, and it's 10% in all Spain.
So would that be if you bought off plan, you've moved in,
it'll be VAT and you pay 10%.
Right, okay. So
Now, in addition to the capital gains tax that I mentioned before, the seller will have to pay a tax called plusvalía, which is, again, our friend Catastro. Remember that we talk about the valor catastral?
Yeah.
It's related with this because it's calculated by the town hall once again. And it how they do it is that it's calculated on the increase of the value of land.
Land, okay. Not the house,
just the land. Now,
okay.
So what has happened recently, which is good, you used to pay it in the early years. Well, not so early, maybe 3 years ago or four. It didn't matter if you made a profit or a loss on the sale. The plusvalía tax was always payable. Now, fortunately, you only have to pay the plusvalía tax if you make a profit. So we've made some good steps here towards equality, no? So that is good.
And we pay this tax by the purchaser at the time of...
Yeah, well, here, good, Giles, yeah, what happens, again, similar to the 3%, because you're a non-resident, what will happen is that, again, the purchaser will withhold this plusvalía tax from you on that day when you're selling the property, and he will pay it to the town hall on your behalf.
Okay.
Similar to the withholding tax that is paid to the tax office, this one is paid to the town hall.
Okay, so that's the problem. My brain hurts here, so that's an awful lot of information. Where... tell me that on the Spence Clark website, Claudia, that you have this, you've got a link for all this so that I can I can look at it, because my brain is actually at the moment.
You can find lots of guides about all of this, about non-residents, about the property ownership. The web is www.spenceclark.com, both Spence and Clark with an E.
Right. Now,
please visit
when
us.
I came here several thousand years ago, when dinosaurs walked the earth, or even Jesus Hill, it was all the rage to say, well, I've got my company, I've got my property through an offshore company, or this company, or a foreign company. I mean, is that still a thing, or has that door been closed?
Very interesting question. It is true that a foreign company owning a property in Spain is not subject to deemed income.
Yeah.
This is why it's still a valid route. However, we must notice that when the company is registered in a country that Spain considers it to be a tax haven, there's actually a list. We have that list of tax havens in our webpage as well.
And good morning to our listeners in Grand Cayman.
The deemed income is always payable, and you pay this time 3% on the valor catastral. Here again, this happens with Gibraltar still, okay?
Yeah.
The treaty is not yet finished. So additionally, there is a thing. The tax office is now also checking all the properties that are being used by the final owners. They're also doing that.
Right.
And so really, guys, if you're going to buy a property, you need to seek professional advice.
Yeah.
It's not that easy saying, oh, let's do it, because things are changing and the tax office is being very aggressive with companies. They don't like companies. The Spanish people don't like it.
Well,
that's the truth.
You can kind of see the reason behind it. And one of the things is, well, in my coming up for 40 years in Spain now, I have seen how they have changed and they have embraced modern technology. And as Hacienda will embargo you if they can. I always say that whenever they're looking for somebody, they shouldn't send, you know, special agents or whatever out there. They should just send Hacienda, because you could be in the Amazon in a hut with the natives, and you'd hear this canoe, and it would be Hacienda, and they'd be going, "Yours Catistral." We've got 1 minute and 30 seconds, Claudia.
Okay.
Just quickly.
Yeah.
If you are in that hut in the Amazon, and you hear the sound of paddles and the office starts to inspect you, don't panic. I mean, apart from phone you immediately, what should they do?
It's very important that they respond to the letter. So on that point, it is very important the non-residents have a reliable address in Spain that the tax office can contact you.
Yeah.
So for that, Spence Clark, for example, have the fiscal representation fees. Very important, because if you do not respond in time, the tax office is going to fine you. And as Giles have just explained, in the middle of the Amazon, they're going to fine you. And the little amount of tax that you owe them at the beginning is going to be twice, three times more. So fiscal services, please find an article that I have in the webpage about it. There's a case study, a real one, okay? I haven't put the name. I've changed the name. It's the last article I wrote about it.
Right.
The name of the article is "What Should I Do When I Leave Spain and Become a Non-Resident?" But read it so that you see how important it is that the tax office really finds you and you answer their question on time.
Breathe. How you managed to get that in with 20 seconds to go. Claudia, if people want to find more information, the first port of call, the website, they can read the articles, they'll find the links. What is the website?
The website, www.spenceclark.com. Both Spence and Clark with an E.
Right, we've covered an awful lot of ground today, so thank you so much for demystifying the Spanish tax system, Claudia, as always. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.